Praise the Lord. Amen. Am I on? Is it on? Is it on? Is it? Praise God. All right. God's good. How many's ready for some word today? Man, I've got some good word I want to share with you today. I think it's really going to bless you. It blessed me while I was just studying it. And it's just good. God's word is so good. Praise God. Hopefully going to help you out today in some areas in your life and concerning grace and what God does and what grace is and, you know, our authority that we have as a believer. So, amen. Why don't you stand this morning? Let's turn to Ephesians 6, 10 through 14. Wow. Let's look at this, Ephesians 6, 10 through 14. Finally, my brethren, be strong, where? In and in what? In power of his might, right? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, right? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Notice it's not a life. It's not an evil month. And not an evil week. It's one day, right? Evil day, right? And having done all to stand, what do? Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Wow. Amen. Go on down, next verse. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, go on, above all, taking the what? Shield of faith, which we will be able to quench some of the darts, all of the darts of the wicked one. Amen. Hold up your Bible. Let's say it this morning. Come on. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody, give them a high five and say, the devil is defeated. Hallelujah. And since he's defeated, he doesn't have a leg to stand on. You know, there's been, in charismatic, probably, there's been more books written about spiritual warfare than anything. You know, how to cast the bark out of a dog. How to take authority over the spirit of Cocoa Puffs. Really, literally. I'm telling you, all types of things have been written about spiritual warfare. But here's the bottom line. The devil is defeated. Amen. I mean, really, he is defeated. He has no power except what you allow him to have. That's it. He is no big thing, man. He is a fallen angel. That's it. His name was Lucifer. When he fell, it became Satan. So, but he is defeated. Amen. So the most powerful weapon that you have against the enemy, listen to me, is your gift of righteousness. Your gift of righteousness and understanding that gift is the most powerful aspect and tool you have over the enemy. When you don't understand that you are made righteous in Jesus Christ when you are born again, if you don't fully understand and have a revelation of that, then your life is based on performance instead of a relationship. Hello? Amen. And if it's based on performance, your salvation is based on performance, Satan can come in and defeat every area of your life. Wow. That's why he said here in Ephesians, he said, take what? The breastplate of what? Where does the breastplate apply? What area is the breastplate? It's your heart, right? So you have established, the Bible says we are to be established in what? Righteousness. We are to be established in that. We are to be settled in our right standing with God and not based on our performance, not based on how good we are, but about how good he is. Amen. Because the enemy's chief weapon against you is condemnation and guilt. And condemnation and guilt come out of your performance. right? And here's what happens. He comes in and he condemns you because you didn't live up to what you thought was making you right before God. And if he can do that, it becomes a vicious cycle in your life because you're always trying to please God and you're always falling short of that or an area of your life. And this happens in every area of your life. And then you begin to feel guilty. I shouldn't have had that double cheeseburger. Hello? Come on. Anybody ever feel guilty about that? Come on. Besides Pastor? God, you guys got to be kidding me. I'm the only one. You know? I mean, it's like I'm out there on the road, and it's late at night, and I'm hungry, and, you know, I go by a McDonald's, and all of a sudden I think about that double cheeseburger in my mind. And, you know, I find myself pulled in McDonald's, ordered me a double cheeseburger, a large fry, and a large Coke. I need that Coke. I can justify it. I need that Coke to keep me awake. So I justify it, you know? Wow. And I feel, and then I eat it, and I feel bloated and guilty all at the same time. And I'm thinking, why did I eat that? You know, why did I have that? I'm talking about, listen to me, every area of life. And it becomes a cycle. Once you fall into condemnation, it becomes a cycle in your life. And the enemy, it's almost like he has you there because you haven't understood that, you know what, if I want a cheeseburger, I can eat a cheeseburger and I don't have to feel guilty about it or not. God's going to love me whether I eat that cheeseburger or don't eat that cheeseburger. Your body may not, but God does. Amen. God still loves you, but I don't have to fall in to that area. That's why he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, be settled and firm in your right standing with God, and don't allow it to become a performance-oriented thing where you feel like, well, I didn't read my Bible today, so I, you know what, I'm not as close to God as I should be. That is wrong. Amen. That's based on performance, and you fall into guilt, and the enemy brings in condemnation. And I'm telling you what, the reason I think a lot of people are sick today is not because of really health issues that they've done, it's because of condemnation they've allowed to come into their life. Condemnation kills. Something that is condemned, you don't know, you no longer want to go into that place. And so God doesn't want you living under condemnation. That's why Paul wrote this and said, look, one thing you need to put on is the breastplate of righteousness. I want you to look at this scripture. It's such a good scripture. It's out of Proverbs. Some of you can quote it. Some of you know it. Proverbs 4:23. I'm reading it out of the New Living Translation, okay? It says, guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart above all else. For it determines the course of your life. So if my heart determines the course of my life, and I'm allowing my heart to be condemned, I'm falling into a pattern. I don't want my heart to be condemned. I want to know that I am free from condemnation and that Christ set me free, because another version says, out of it flows the issues. We don't want to have issues. Turn to somebody and say, no issues. Amen. So the way we don't have issues is we guard our heart with righteousness. Amen. And the enemy, you know, he will want to come. That is his main thing, is throwing condemnation. He is the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. He throws condemnation upon you, tries to accuse you, but you need to be established in righteousness. When you doubt your right standing, you fall into a continual trap of condemnation and guilt, which keeps you bound instead of being free. Thank you for your enthusiasm there, church. Amen. Wow, look at John 8:4. Very familiar scripture. Remember when the woman was caught in adultery? Let's look at this. John 8:4. You know, this is a powerful illustration of this, okay? John 8:4. then said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. So the Pharisees bring this woman and say, hey, she was caught in the very act. Well, I wonder which one found her. I thought that was kind of strange, didn't you? You know, somebody had to be there. It takes two, right? Right? So now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what are you saying? You know this story. They tested Jesus that they might have something of which to accuse him. They're operating in the accusation of the enemy. They're operating under the law. And the law always accuses. That's why you don't need to be operating in the law with people. Operate in grace with people. The law always accuses. Always. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. Only the other time God wrote with his finger was when he wrote the Ten Commandments. And he wrote with his finger. I believe he was writing the law. That's my perception of this. As though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without what? Sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And then what did he do? He stooped down and he wrote again. And he was writing, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, I shall honor your father. I believe that's what he was writing on the ground. And then look what happens. Next verse. He used the law against the lawgivers. Isn't that interesting? Then those who heard it being what? By their own conscience, being convicted. That is the law. The purpose of the law is to tell you, you're wrong. That's the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to bring out your worst. And the purpose of grace is to bring out your best. Grace always brings out the best. When you see people bringing out the worst in people, folks, that is a religious mindset. But when you see people bringing out the best in people, that is a Jesus mindset. God always wants to bring out the best in you. God always wants to bring out the best in you. Grace brings out, and not only brings out, but thinks the best. The law thinks the worst. Grace thinks the best. Jesus was about to bring the best out of this woman. She was in the very act of adultery, but Jesus was getting ready to bring out the best in her. The law was getting ready to kill her and stone her and throw her away and discard her. But no, Jesus saw something more. Amen. And Jesus always sees more and brings out the best. That is awesome. Amen. Went out one by one. They went out one by one. By their conscience, they went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst. Can you imagine that? Wow. Face to face with the Lord. You know what? Here's what's so cool, man. So many people fall under the condemnation in areas of their life. You know what? And run from God instead of running to God. That is the time that God is right there with you and loves you the most. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Look at this. I love this. Go on down. Next verse. Amen. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are thine accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Has no one what? Has no one what? Has no one condemned you? And what did she say? No, because James says if we're guilty in one, we're guilty in all. Right? If you miss it in one, you miss it in all. Right? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, you know what he just gave her? He gave her the gift of righteousness. He just gave her, even though she was in the midst of sin, extended to her the gift of righteousness. And the gift of righteousness empowered her to do the very next thing. Look what he says. Go and sin no more. Most churches say, hey, go and sin no more and we won't condemn you. Right? That's what religion teaches. But she said, He said, no, I'm establishing you in righteousness, therefore I'm giving you the power. Now you're no longer under condemnation. Can you imagine this woman, how she felt? Because she knew that the sentence of this was death. The sting of death is what? Sin is the sting of death, right? Amen. And God says, I'm freeing you. I'm giving you the gift of righteousness. Wow, that is grace. That is grace, church. Amen. That is God's grace. It empowers you today. It empowers you. God wants to empower your life. And when you have a strong foundation, how many know a foundation is the very, any builders in here? Do you have anybody that's a builder? Builders, any builders? You're a builder. You're a builder. What's the most important thing on a building? Is it the roof? Is it the frame? What is it? It's the foundation. Because if the foundation is not proper, it will not be able to support the rest of the building. So if your foundation is not established in righteousness, your roof's going to be off. You're going to be leaking. Hello? God wants you to be established in righteousness. The foundation is the basis for everything. And our spiritual lives are no different. As Christians, the first foundation that we must understand is we have been gifted in righteousness, not based on our performance. Amen. Praise God. Wow. What does that mean, Pastor? I don't have to be obedient. Wrong. You see, we were talking about this morning. We get obedience and a work mentality messed up. We are to be obedient people. Right? A lot of people think when they get over into grace, only thing now I have to do is just sit down and shut up, and I'm on my way to heaven. Well, you are, and you can get there. Because you've received Christ, not on your own merit, but on His merit. And you're going, and you can sit down and shut up. But you know what? If Paul sat down and shut up, we would never have two-thirds of the New Testament, and he was the greatest teacher of grace that I know. Paul was obedient in grace, obedient in faith. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. Amen. If you're working to establish your salvation, then you're wrong. But out of obedience in faith, and faith is working, then you're right. It's faith that works through us. God works through you. Jesus worked through faith. Jesus laid hand on the sick. Jesus spoke over Lazarus, come forth. Amen. Jesus accomplished much when he is grace. But we get so wrong because then we think, well, if I'm not... You see, we get it mixed up. We think I've got to work for my salvation. No, salvation is done when you're born again and you've received it by faith, by grace. Amen. You are saved. And then a lot of people go on the swing on the other side and say, well, I don't have to do nothing anymore. Well, you don't. You don't. You can go to heaven. You can go to heaven by just believing, and you'll get there. May get there a lot faster, but you'll get there. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. Do you understand that there's a difference in our salvation grace, and then when we are born again, we are obedient to faith. Faith has obedience in it. Nothing wrong with obedience. I said nothing wrong with obedience. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. We're not justified by that obedience. We're justified by faith and grace through Jesus Christ. It's not that I bring in a box today, and because my box I brought in, I'm justified because I got a box. Hello? Now I'm saved and I did my good deed for the day because I brought a box. No, that's wrong. Amen. But out of a heart, because I love the Lord, because, you know, I'm just obedient and I want to serve Him, I bring in a box because I get to, not because I have to. There's a difference between the get to and the have to. Oh, God, I got to bring that box. If I don't bring that box, you're going to kill me right here on the spot. Lord Jesus, I'm going to give you lots of boxes. Amen. No, man. And that's what happens with people. Because they come into grace, and grace, you know, it saves us, and you never have to do anything else. You can go to heaven. But you know what? God made me, God blessed me to be a blesser. Amen. You know, you wouldn't have to be a part of your motorcycle club. You wouldn't have to do that. You could just get saved and hang out. Dudes, I'm saved. Yay. I'm saved. Yay. But you know what? God puts that in our hearts that we may respond to that. Listen, I want to look at James a second because it's kind of interesting. Because it's really interesting. What did he say? He said, take the shield of what? The shield of faith, whereby what? What do we do? Quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Now, this is interesting. James is a very interesting book. Now, James was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a half-brother of the Lord's, right? And a lot of people, Martin Luther, who's a big proponent of grace, okay? You know what Martin Luther who, you know, attacked his theses upon the chapel door on grace and said the just shall live by what? Faith. You know what he called the book of James? He called the book of James an epistle of straw. He said it was worthless. And the reason he called it that is because of what I'm getting ready to talk to you about. All right? Because he didn't have a full understanding. He didn't have a full revelation. But look what it says over in James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says, what profit is it? If someone says he has faith but does not have works. And then people say, well, hold on a second now. Here's faith and works going hand in hand. What's up with this? What is he talking about here? Well, let's read on. Can that type of faith save him? Can that type of faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit them? Does it profit them, church? No, it doesn't profit them. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Wow! What is he saying there? Faith by itself, if there's not obedience to faith, then that faith is dead. But folks, the thing is, it's not our faith, it's his faith working through us. That's where it's at. It's his. It's not that we're doing something in order to get something. It's not that we're doing something in order to be saved. But faith is powerful. That's why he said, take the shield of faith. Faith is powerful, but faith is always, there's always a corresponding action in faith. You're saved by faith, but you've got to open up your mouth and confess it. By grace, you're saved, but you've got to open up your mouth and what? Romans 10, 8, 9, 10, right? Y'all hearing me this morning? Y'all getting any of this? Y'all understand where I'm going here? Because a lot of times what happens is people, when they come into grace, they get saved, they sit down, they shut up, and that's all they do. You're never going to be a world changer by sitting down, shutting up, and doing all that. Paul was a world changer. Jesus was a world changer. Why? Because they relied upon the Father. Out of that flows grace to others. Amen? Someone says, you know, it's not about showing you my faith, it's about showing you my faith that works. Faith that works. Not me, but faith working through me. Amen. Faith through me laying hands on the sick and commanding them to be healed. Faith through me giving, amen, and blessing someone in the kingdom of God in the church. faith through me working, being obedient to the faith. I'll show you faith that works. Faith that works. I'm about faith that works. Not working for my salvation. That's a done deal. I'm not out to prove anything, but I want to be obedient to the Spirit. And when the Spirit says, hey, I want you to give $100 here, I'm going to give the $100. It wasn't work. It was just obedience. There's a difference between obedience and work. Obedience is something I joy. Work is something I dread. I don't want to work. I want to bang on the drums all day. Da, 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 da. Obedience is something. It's a joy to be obedient. In Jesus, it's a joy to be obedient. It's a joy to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Woo! Hallelujah. It's a joy to bless someone that, you know, the Spirit of God deals with them and says, hey, reach in your pocket and give them $1,000 today. What a joy that is. It's not a drudgery unless you take it at, oh, God, you want me to give $1,000? Lord, if you're really speaking to me up there, Lord, if you're speaking to me, you know what? Lord, if you're speaking, make that car flip. You ever see that? You're gathered in the body of Christ one day, and I'm talking about finance, and all of a sudden God drops something in your heart. You know, oh, you know what? And you said, now, Lord, if that's really true, let Holly do a cartwheel across the... Amen. You know, I mean, folks, but it, let's go on down. Let's look at this. All right, let's look at this. This is pretty cool. Amen. So he says, what is the prophet? Look at verse 17. That also, faith by itself, if it does not manifest, is dead. If faith isn't manifesting, it's dead faith. If faith isn't manifest, we say work, let's say manifest, that's what it is. If faith isn't manifesting, it's dead. I'm talking about righteousness and faith because righteousness and faith goes hand in hand. They're both tools that God has given us in our arsenal against the enemy, right? So thus also faith by itself, if it does not manifest, it's dead faith. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith that works. That's what he's saying. I will show you my faith. How many know faith works? Faith is working on your behalf today. Faith is always working. Faith is always active. Now faith is. Faith is not yesterday, tomorrow. Faith is active, working today. Faith and the Word are working on your behalf today. It's not you that are working. It's faith that is working on your behalf. You're just being obedient to what God's already done. Hallelujah, what God's already provided. And faith and the Word is working and accomplishing what it's going to accomplish. Hallelujah. You can take it to the bank, man. It's solid. Praise God. It's working on your... A lot of people out there sweating today trying to get saved. God gave you a sweatless anointing. When he dressed the priests, he dressed them in fine linen. So they were working, but they were cool. Cool, baby. That's cool, man. Pastor, you go to Detroit too much. I can't. I grew up there, brother. Amen. You got to understand, man. Hallelujah, man. Man, it's awesome, dude. Hallelujah. Me and this brother Antoine at the dealership. Antoine's a Christian. And Antoine, he's just got lots of soul. And, man, we get down. It's awesome. We talk about Jesus, and it's so good, man. Woo! Praise God. Get a vision of greatness in your life. Be a giraffe and not a snake. Snake only sees so far. Be a giraffe where you can look up above. And don't stoop down to where the snake is. People with the snake mentality will pull you down. People with the giraffe mentality will pull you up. Hang around some giraffes. Hello? Get out of that snake pit. Get up there, man, and keep your head up high. Wow. Turn to somebody and say, no more snakes in my life. All right, look at this. Let's go on a little bit here. Y'all get anything out of this morning? Because so many people, man, they just see, we're hearing so much grace. I am so thankful for grace. It is awesome. Jesus is grace. But people get over there so far, and then they realize, oh, I don't have to do anything now. I can just sit down. And you can. I'm not saying that you can't. Sit down and go to heaven yourself. You're the only one going. You ain't going to impact no one else's life. You're not going to do anything else because you're just so happy. I'm happy. I'm saved. Me, myself, and I. Man, oh my gosh. But look what he says, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith that I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith that works. You believe that there is one God. How many believe that? You do well. Good job, right? Even the demons believe. Hello? And what? And tremble. They believe. So do you. You believe. Let's go on down to the next verse. Wow. Do you want to know, oh foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Faith that's not working is dead faith. Faith that's not mixed with obedience is dead faith. It takes the faith and the word. You know why? The reason they didn't mix their faith with the word. You got to take the faith, mix it with the word. Hello? It will produce results every time. I'm a result-oriented guy. I like results. Amen? How many likes results? How many want to see some results? Faith and word together, mixed together, amen, is results. There's a scripture on that. Was not Abraham our father? He was justified. How? How was he justified? By what? What did he say? He was justified by what? By obedience. We get works and obedience mixed up. He was justified by obedience, right? When he offered Isaac his son on the altar, he was justified by obedience. Why? Because God told him to do that. When God told him, what did he do? He was obedient. So we get the work and obedience mixed up. It was like, okay, God, you told me that's what I'm going to do. And he went up and he offered his son up on the altar. And because of that, he was justified. Faith, he was justified. Look at the next verse. Do you see that faith was working together with his what? Obedience. Faith was working together with what? Not works for salvation, but faith was working together with his what? His obedience, his response to it. Faith always demands a response. Y'all here, turn to somebody and say, are you getting this? This is good. This is so good. Faith always demands a response. Amen. That's what faith is there for. Faith is there for you to respond to it. It's not dependent upon your salvation once you're already saved. Once you're already saved, you're saved, baby. And you ain't going to get any more saver than you are saver. You're it. That's it. But out of that, we want also to be a blessing and obedient. And so we're living in the Spirit now, and the Spirit is not works. The Spirit is far from works. The Spirit is enjoying. It is sweatless. It is fun. It is no condemnation. It is living in the richness of God. It is being obedient when God says to stop your car and get out and tell somebody about the love of Jesus. You do that. And you're not, oh my gosh, no, you're just out of obedience. Lord, if I don't do that, I'm not going to be saved. You're going to be so mad at me. He won't be mad at you. You just missed an opportunity to be a blessing. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. Yes, you are. I changed my confession. You're hearing what I'm saying today. Yes, you are. You're getting this. It's not gonna mess up you and God. If God says for you to give $500,000 to the church and you have it, and God says to give it, and you don't, God's still going to love you. We're going to be without $500,000, but God's going to love you, right? But if you gave it out of, just why he says, that's why when we give out of joy. God loves a cheerful giver. What is he saying? I love somebody that's just, you know, obedient. Just being obedient. Just listening to me. And it's not works, man. It's just obedience. If you had this and you put all these, you see that faith was obedience, that faith with obedience together with his obedience, and by obedience, faith was made what? Complete. Faith has an end journey. The end journey of faith is success. Perfect. Amen. It's going down. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says Abraham what? And it was counted to him for righteousness. His faith was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Next verse of scripture. You see then that a man is justified by obedience and not by faith alone. It's obedience. When the Lord came to your heart, it was your obedience that says, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my life. Right? All right. So, going down. Next verse. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by obedience when she received the messengers that sent them out another way? You remember the story? She let down the scarlet thread. The scarlet thread was a symbol of the blood of Christ, the Old Testament revealed in, you know, hidden and the New Testament revealed. Amen. And she was justified by her obedience. Praise God. For it's a body without the spirit. See the spirit, isn't that awesome? The spirit is dead. So faith without obedience is what? It's not going to do you a whole lot of good. You can just believe and believe and believe. I love the little story I heard one time about these two widow women, and one moved into an apartment building. She just came in and found out the other little lady was Christian as well. And, you know, they got together and they got talking, and the other lady said she'd been there a long time. And she said, you know, honey, I've been praying for 40 years that bar across the street, it would just close. And I just pray every night. She says, they're loud and they wake me up every night in the morning. I just pray they're closed. She said, well, honey, I'll join in with you and pray with you. Oh, thank you so much. Next morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, the woman woke up, looked across the street, and the bar was on fire and burnt down. And she couldn't believe it. She went next door, knocked on her, got her up, and said, honey, look, the bar. Oh, she says, I know the difference between my prayer and your prayer is I put feet on mine. Just saying. You have to get that, right? Amen. But God desires us, church. You know, it's not a work mentality. Your salvation is complete. Your salvation is done. Amen. But thank God for people who are obedient to the faith. Obedient to the faith. And when God speaks to your heart, amen, you can do it or not. You have a choice. You can receive or not receive. And it doesn't matter on your salvation. Salvation is complete. You know, Kay had a choice. Jeff had a choice to get up here. Johnny had a choice. They had a choice to get up here and play music today. They didn't have to. We could have been Church of Christ, and we could have sung a cappella. I was in Church of Christ for a few years, and we sung a cappella. It was always interesting, though. We did have music in the Church of Christ because our leader had a little pitch pipe, and he'd blow it. Beer. Beer. I'm thinking, now hold on a second. You guys don't believe in music? I'm hearing something. Not music in the church. What? What is that noise? You know, and then we begin to sing. They did not have to do that. Honestly, I didn't have to come preach today. Oh, you've been disobedient. No. In fact, I was tired. I thought about laying in bed today. I thought, you know what? These people got enough word. They can make it one day without me, I'm sure. Okay, right? Okay, in fact, it's opening day of hunting season, right? Yesterday was, right? I missed it by a day. I was going to go hunting today. Well, I thought, what a great morning to hunt. I was really tired this morning, church. I was so tired. How tired were you, Pat? I was real tired. Physically, I was tired. I didn't have to do this. I'm doing this out of the joy of the Lord. I do this out of the joy of the Lord. I don't even do it for your benefit, believe it or not. As much as I love you, as much as I care about you and your spirituality and where you are in Christ, but I do this out of the joy of the Lord. It is a joy for me to get up and share with such wonderful people. You know what? If I wanted to go hunting today, God would not have been mad at me. Holly may have been, but God would not have been. Jeff, Jody, Kay, they didn't have to get up here and lift us up into worship. Wow, what? I don't know about you guys, but I've been enjoying worship. Have y'all been enjoying it? Wow. And the words of those songs, they didn't have to do that. Why did they do that? Was it hard for them to do that? No. It wasn't hard. They enjoyed it. Anything that's in the spirit is enjoyable. Anything that's in the flesh is works. How do you know the difference? Are you getting joy out of it? Is it a joy to you? If it's a dredge, that's why he says, don't give grudgingly or out of necessity. Don't do that. It's not of the spirit. Grudgingly, out of necessity, oh, I have to. No, it's not out of the spirit. The spirit life, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so if it becomes out of grudge or out of necessity, it's a work and it's not by faith. And work will produce, but it won't produce the harvest that faith will. Because you know what? You're sweating to do it and sweating to get it. I said, I ain't going to sweat. I don't even like sweat. Hello? Some of you ladies, you know, going through the change of life, you know about those things, right? Hey, Jesus, oh, it's hot here. Freezing, oh, it's hot, you know. Maybe it's freezing, it's hot. Get me out of these blankets. Turn on the air, let me run outside. Whatever, amen. Man, pretty much. But God said, I want to give you a sweatless anointing. Sweat where it's not hard. It's just things, man, I think things in the spirit are so easy. And so, how many's ever received something in the spirit? Come on, anybody besides pastor? And it wasn't hard, and it was the best thing you ever had. It was so easy and so sweet and so gracious. And you know what? But we get caught up sometimes, and you know, we feel like we got to work it, work it, work it. And no, it's not about working. It's so easy. It was so easy for Abraham. It was easy for him because you know what he said? He believed God so much. He told him, now hold the donkeys here and stuff. Me and my lad, we're going up to worship, but we will be back. He had such faith in God. It was nothing for him. He knew if he killed him, God would raise him up. Most of us would be stressing. God, I don't want to do this. He didn't even say, I don't want to do it. It was a joy for him to do it. Because he had that much faith in God. And when you have that much faith in God, it's a joy to do it. You're not scared to sacrifice your Isaac. Because you know God's got a better Isaac for you. Woo! Stand this morning. Amen. Praise God. Give God some praise. Amen. You know, you could have made it a chore to come to church today, or you could have came with joy. I'm looking forward to going to see the people of God today. I get to hang out with some of the best. Oh, it's Sunday morning. Oh, my God. Y'all don't give me any of that excuse. I don't know. Sometime I'm going to track my miles I cover in a year and just cover my mileage and what time I get in and let you guys know. So never give me an excuse about missing church. Coming out to the house of God. No, and I know, hey, I'm free, guys. Y'all know you gotta miss sometimes. Sometimes I want to miss. Yeah, amen. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. But God loves you today. Wow, he cares for you. Amen. So when we move in our faith, it's a joy thing. It's not a grudge. It's not a drudge. It's not any of those things. It's a joy. It's a joy to serve the Lord. I find joy in serving God, don't you? I find joy in the Spirit. Paul says it's joy unspeakable and full of what? The half has not yet been told. Wow, joy unspeakable. Amen. Serving Jesus should not be, oh dear. Oh my, you shouldn't have a Eeyore complex when it comes to serving Jesus. Oh dear, oh my, Lord, you want me to do what? Amen. Raise your hands this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Lord, we don't serve you out of a necessity, God, or out of trying to get something. Lord, we have everything. When you have everything, you're blessed. So, God, we serve you out of joy. We serve others out of joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless others today, God. Thank you, Lord. We just honor them today. We thank you for people, God. Thank you for the joy of the Holy Ghost that's within us today. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today that our faith is working. Amen. Our faith is mixed with the word and it profits us, God. Thank you for that, Jesus. Lord, we're full of the Holy Spirit today. Our spirit is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost today. Amen, Lord. We thank you. We're not working for our salvation. Our salvation's complete, God. But we're being obedient to the faith, Lord. And as the Spirit prompts our heart, God, we're quick to obey. And it's a joy, not a dread. Thank you for that, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Say with me out of your mouth, I'm blessed today to be a blessing. I'm obedient to the Spirit. When He speaks, I obey. I love Him because He first loved me and He gave Himself for me. My life is one of purpose and destiny. I have a giraffe mentality. I have a giraffe vision. I see above. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God some praise today, church. Amen. Praise God. Woo! Love you guys. Hug some people this morning. Tell them how lovely they are. Amen.